May 9th. Today's reading in the Old Testament is from the book of 1 Samuel chapter 5 verse 1 through chapter 7 verse 17. And in chapter 5, we see that the glory may have departed from Israel, but God was still in control and was well able to defend His name. If you get depressed because the enemy seems to have captured the glory, well, rest assured that God is still on the throne. God can reveal His glory even in a heathen temple, as we shall see, and all false gods must fall before Him. How much better it would have been for His glory to be revealed on the battlefield, but He could not give victory to a disobedient people. It would only have encouraged them more in their sin. Now, instead of confessing their sin and trusting the true God of Israel, the people of Philistia tried to get rid of the ark. What a great opportunity they were passing by. But then think about it. Would you want to trust the God of the defeated enemy? Israel was a poor witness to the other nations, so they rejected Israel's God. And in 1 Samuel chapter 6, we'll see that God chastened the Philistines because they kept the ark. But He killed some of His own people because they looked into the ark. The Israelites knew the law, and therefore were more responsible than the Philistines. Now, curiosity is important to learning and progress, but it is unwise to be unduly curious about holy things that you have not been called to and are not equipped to handle. The men of Beth Shemesh were reaping the harvest when the cart with the ark comes into view. Now, the ark had been gone about 6 months, but the men did not allow that to keep them from working. Even in times of defeat, there are jobs to be done and people to feed. Abinadab's house will become a tabernacle of the Lord, but should not every home be a holy dwelling place for Him? Moving on into 1 Samuel chapter 7, we'll see that the ark had been returned to Israel, but Israel had not returned to the Lord. So Samuel called them to repentance. They put away their foreign gods and then met at Mizpah to renew their covenant with the Lord. For years, God had been preparing Samuel for this strategic ministry, and He rescued the nation. Now, the Philistines thought that the assembly at Mizpah was preparation for war. However, Israel was not equipped for battle. But God's people used spiritual weapons to defeat the enemy. Samuel prayed, and God sent the enemy back in confusion. Samuel was born in answer to prayer, and he lived in dependence on prayer. God heard and answered Samuel's prayers, as He does for you and me today. Now, Ebenezer, as we shall see, as we read there in 1 Samuel chapter 7, Ebenezer means stone of help. It was a memorial to God's helping His people from the beginning to that very day. Missionary J. Hudson Taylor had a plaque in his home that read, "Ebenezer and Jehovah Jireh." That means, thus far, the Lord has helped us. The Lord will see to it. See, this takes care of the past and the future. So why worry about the present? God is in control. And with that, let's hear what the Word of God says as we read today from the Old Testament. May 9th, 1 Samuel chapter 5, verse 1 through chapter 7, verse 17. After the Philistines captured the Ark of God, they took it from the battleground at Ebenezer to the city of Ashdod. They carried the Ark of God into the temple of Dagon and placed it beside the idol of Dagon. But when the citizens of Ashdod went to see it the next morning, Dagon had fallen with his face to the ground in front of the Ark of the Lord. So they set the idol up again. But the next morning the same thing happened. The idol had fallen face down before the Ark of the Lord again. This time his head and hands had broken off and were lying in the doorway. Only the trunk of his body was left intact. That is why to this day neither the priests of Dagon nor anyone who enters the temple of Dagon will step on its threshold. Then the Lord began to afflict the people of Ashdod and the nearby villages with a plague of tumors. When the people realized what was happening, they cried out, We can't keep the Ark of the God of Israel here any longer. He is against us. We will all be destroyed along with our god Dagon. So they called together the rulers of the five Philistine cities and asked, What should we do with the Ark of the God of Israel? The rulers discussed it and replied, Move it to the city of Gath. So they moved the Ark of the God of Israel to Gath. But when the Ark arrived at Gath, the Lord began afflicting its people, young and old, with a plague of tumors, and there was a great panic. So they sent the Ark of God to the city of Ekron. But when the people of Ekron saw it coming, they cried out, They are bringing the Ark of the God of Israel here to kill us too. So the people summoned the rulers again and begged them, Please send the Ark of the God of Israel back to its own country, or it will kill us all. For the plague from God had already begun, and great fear was sweeping across the city. Those who didn't die were afflicted with tumors, and there was weeping everywhere. The Ark of the Lord remained in Philistine territory 7 months in all. Then the Philistines called in their priests and diviners and asked them, What should we do about the Ark of the Lord? Tell us how to return it to its own land. Send the Ark of the God of Israel back, along with a gift, they were told. Send a guilt offering so the plague will stop. Then, if the plague doesn't stop, you will know that God didn't send the plague after all. What sort of guilt offering should we send? They asked. And they were told, Since the plague has struck both you and your five rulers, make 5 gold tumors and 5 gold rats, just like those that have ravaged your land. Make these things to show honor to the God of Israel. Perhaps then he will stop afflicting you, your gods, and your land. Don't be stubborn and rebellious as Pharaoh and the Egyptians were. They wouldn't let Israel go until God had ravaged them with dreadful plagues. Now build a new cart and find 2 cows that have just had calves. Make sure the cows have never been yoked to a cart. Hitch the cows to the cart, but shut their calves away from them in a pen. Put the Ark of the Lord on the cart, and beside it place a chest containing the gold rats and gold tumors. Then let the cows go wherever they want. If they cross the border of our land and go to Beth Shemesh, we will know it was the Lord who brought this great disaster upon us. If they don't, we will know that the plague was simply a coincidence and was not sent by the Lord at all. So these instructions were carried out. 2 cows with newborn calves were hitched to the cart, and their calves were shut up in a pen. Then the Ark of the Lord and the chest containing the gold rats and gold tumors were placed on the cart. And sure enough, the cows went straight along the road toward Beth Shemesh, lowing as they went. The Philistine rulers followed them as far as the border of Beth Shemesh. The people of Beth Shemesh were harvesting wheat in the valley, and when they saw the ark, they were overjoyed. The cart came into the field of a man named Joshua and stopped beside a large rock. So the people broke up the wood of the cart for a fire and killed the cows and sacrificed them to the Lord as a burnt offering. Several men of the tribe of Levi lifted the Ark of the Lord and the chest containing the gold rats and gold tumors from the Ark and placed them on the large rock. Many burnt offerings and sacrifices were offered to the Lord that day by the people of Beth Shemesh. The 5 Philistine rulers watched all this and then returned to Ekron that same day. The 5 gold tumors that were sent by the Philistines as a guilt offering to the Lord were gifts from the rulers of Ashdod, Gaza, Ashkelon, Gath, and Ekron. The 5 gold rats represented the 5 Philistine cities and their surrounding villages, which were controlled by the 5 rulers. The large rock at Beth Shemesh, where they set the Ark of the Lord, still stands in the field of Joshua as a reminder of what happened there. But the Lord killed 70 men from Beth Shemesh because they looked into the Ark of the Lord. And the people mourned greatly because of what the Lord had done. Who is able to stand in the presence of the Lord, this holy God? They cried out. Where can we send the ark from here? So they sent messengers to the people of Kiriath-Jearim and told them, "The Philistines have returned the Ark of the Lord. Please come here and get it." So the men of Kiriath-Jearim came to get the Ark of the Lord. They took it to the hillside home of Abinadab and ordained Eleazar his son to be in charge of it. The Ark remained in Kiriath-Jearim for a long time, 20 years in all. During that time, all Israel mourned because it seemed that the Lord had abandoned them. Then Samuel said to all the people of Israel, "If you are really serious about wanting to return to the Lord, get rid of your foreign gods and your images of Ashtoreth. Determine to obey only the Lord. Then he will rescue you from the Philistines." So the Israelites destroyed their images of Baal and Ashtoreth and worshipped only the Lord. Then Samuel told them, "Come to Mizpah, all of you. I will pray to the Lord for you." So they gathered there and, in a great ceremony, drew water from a well and poured it out before the Lord. They also went without food all day and confessed that they had sinned against the Lord. So it was at Mizpah that Samuel became Israel's judge. When the Philistine rulers heard that all Israel had gathered at Mizpah, they mobilized their army and advanced. The Israelites were badly frightened when they learned that the Philistines were approaching. "Plead with the Lord our God to save us from the Philistines," they begged Samuel. So Samuel took a young lamb and offered it to the Lord as a whole burnt offering. He pleaded with the Lord to help Israel, and the Lord answered. Just as Samuel was sacrificing the burnt offering, the Philistines arrived for battle. But the Lord spoke with a mighty voice of thunder from heaven, and the Philistines were thrown into such confusion that the Israelites defeated them. The men of Israel chased them from Mizpah to Bethkar, slaughtering them all along the way. Samuel then took a large stone and placed it between the towns of Mizpah and Jeshanah. He named it Ebenezer, the Stone of Help, for he said, "Up to this point, the Lord has helped us." So the Philistines were subdued and didn't invade Israel again for a long time. And throughout Samuel's lifetime, the Lord's powerful hand was raised against the Philistines. The Israelite towns near Ekron and Gath that the Philistines had captured were restored to Israel, along with the rest of the territory that the Philistines had taken. And there was also peace between Israel and the Amorites in those days. Samuel continued as Israel's judge for the rest of his life. Each year he traveled around, setting up his court first at Bethel, then at Gilgal, and then at Mizpah. He judged the people of Israel at each of these places. Then he would return to his home at Ramah, and he would hear cases there too. And Samuel built an altar to the Lord at Ramah. May 9th. And as we turn our attention to the New Testament reading for today, we'll be narrating out of the book of John, chapter 6, verses 1 through 21. And here we'll see the disciples faced three tests because of the great crowds that followed Jesus. The first one was feeding the multitude. Philip thought the answer was money, but Andrew saw the answer in a lad with a lunch. Now, when you face a seemingly unsolvable problem or a huge obstacle, claim the promise of this verse. Give what you have to Jesus and let him tell you what to do. In that great song by artist Keith Green of years gone by, he said in one of his songs, "Keep doing your best, pray that it's blessed, and he'll take care of the rest." They were also tested in leaving the multitude. Now, this incident occurred at the high point of our Lord's popularity. The disciples, especially Judas, would have welcomed a kingdom. So Jesus sent them away into a storm. They went from popularity to peril. But they were safer in the storm than when the multitude and Jesus came to them and met their needs. Can you obey his will even when you disagree with him? And the third test is in losing the multitude. People want the Lord to meet their physical needs, but not their spiritual needs. The manna came only to the Jews and sustained physical life, but Jesus came for the whole world and gives eternal life. Now, just as you take food into your body, so you take Christ into your life, and he becomes one with you. The disciples had opportunity to follow the crowd, but they remained with Jesus. And with that, let's turn our attention to today's reading from the New Testament. May 9th, John chapter 6, verses 1 through 21. After this, Jesus crossed over the Sea of Galilee, also known as the Sea of Tiberias, and a huge crowd kept following him wherever he went, because they saw his miracles as he healed the sick. Then Jesus went up into the hills and sat down with his disciples around him. It was nearly time for the annual Passover celebration. Jesus soon saw a great crowd of people climbing the hill, looking for him. Turning to Philip, he asked, "Philip, where can we buy bread to feed all these people?" He was testing Philip, for he already knew what he was going to do. Philip replied, "It would take a small fortune to feed them." Then Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up. "There is a young boy here with 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. But what good is that with this huge crowd?" "Tell everyone to sit down," Jesus ordered. So all of them, the men alone numbered 5,000, sat down on the grassy slopes. Then Jesus took the loaves, gave thanks to God, and passed them out to the people. Afterward, he did the same with the fish, and they all ate until they were full. "Now gather the leftovers," Jesus told his disciples, "so that nothing is wasted." There were only 5 barley loaves to start with, but 12 baskets were filled with the pieces of bread the people did not eat. When the people saw this miraculous sign, they exclaimed, "Surely he is the prophet we have been expecting." Jesus saw that they were ready to take him by force and make him king. So he went higher into the hills alone. That evening his disciples went down to the shore to wait for him. But as darkness fell, and Jesus still hadn't come back, they got into the boat and headed out across the lake toward Capernaum. Soon a gale swept down upon them as they rowed, and the sea grew very rough. They were 3 or 4 miles out when suddenly they saw Jesus walking on the water toward the boat. They were terrified, but he called out to them, "I am here, don't be afraid." Then they were eager to let him in, and immediately the boat arrived at their destination. Today we're reading Psalm 106, verses 13 through 31. We see that the Israelites came to the border of the Promised Land and refused to go in. While wandering in the wilderness, they compromised with the heathen nations. Their stubborn attitude even made Moses sin. Once in the land, they compromised with the wicked nations, and God had to chasten them repeatedly. Were it not for his covenant, God would have destroyed them. But he forgave them and allowed them to have many new beginnings. Finally, he had to disperse them among the Gentiles. Psalm chapter 106, verses 13 through 31. Yet how quickly they, the Israelites, forgot what he had done. They wouldn't wait for his counsel. In the wilderness, their desires ran wild, testing God's patience in that dry land. So he gave them what they asked for, but he sent a plague along with it. The people in the camp were jealous of Moses and envious of Aaron, the Lord's holy priest. Because of this, the earth opened up. It swallowed Dathan and buried Abiram and the other rebels. Fire fell upon their followers. A flame consumed the wicked. The people made a calf at Mount Sinai. They bowed before an image made of gold. They traded their glorious God for a statue of a grass-eating ox. They forgot God, their Savior, who had done such great things in Egypt, such wonderful things in that land, such awesome deeds at the Red Sea. So he declared that he would destroy them. But Moses, his chosen one, stepped between the Lord and the people. He begged him to turn from his anger and not destroy them. The people refused to enter the pleasant land, for they wouldn't believe his promise to care for them. Instead, they grumbled in their tents and refused to obey the Lord. Therefore, he swore that he would kill them in the wilderness, that he would scatter their descendants among the nations, exiling them to distant lands. Then our ancestors joined in the worship of Baal at Peor. They even ate sacrifices offered to the dead. They angered the Lord with all these things, so a plague broke out among them. But Phinehas had the courage to step in, and the plague was stopped. So he has been regarded as a righteous man ever since that time. Proverbs chapter 14, verses 32 and 33. The wicked are crushed by their sins, but the godly have a refuge when they die. Wisdom is enshrined in an understanding heart. Wisdom is not found among fools.